Starting here at the bottom of Tzadik Gimel Amud Bet, right after the Mishnah. The Gemara here is discussing the positions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah. What is the source for their position? So Gemara says, V'nahani mile, Titan Rabbanan beged, the Pasuk says, by the Chatat, Kol asher yigah bipsara yigdash, V'asher yizeh midama al ha-beged, asher yizeh aleha techabes b'makom kadosh. So I only have the word beged. Minayin the rabot or mishu hufshat. How do I know to also include a skin once it has been flayed, taken off the animal? Tamalomar asher yizeh aleha. Anything that can be splashed on it, techabes, must be laundered. Yochosh nim rabot or ajlo hufshat. So maybe even I should include skins before they've been flayed, before they've been taken off the animal. Maybe those should be included. Tamalomar beged. That's why the word beged is used. What does beged come to teach me? Ma beged aroi le kabel tuma. It has to be something that has the ability to be mekabel tuma. Av kol aroi le kabel tuma. And also, only items that accept the blood that are utilized in such a manner that they would be roi le kabel tuma. That's not true of a skin. A skin that is still on the animal is not roi le kabel tuma because it doesn't have any shimush yet. Only once it's taken off the animal, once it's been flayed, and you can use that skin as a blanket, as a throw, or as a table or as a mat for sitting on, then has the possibility of being mekabel tuma. That possibility of being mekabel tuma puts it into the category of beged, and therefore would require kibus, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, says, beged, ein li ela beged, I only have a beged. Now, beged b'chol ha-toru kulo is tzemru pishtim, meaning wool and linen, minayin the robot sak, b'chol minei begadim. How do I know to include other types of materials? So how do I know that it's not just limited to tzemer pishtim? How do I know to include minayin the rabot sak v'chol minei begadim, to include sackcloth and any other types of materials? Tamalomar, asher aleha techabes, which is the end of the pasuk, asher yizeh aleha techabes. Anything that it goes upon, meaning any beggar that it goes upon, that you should have to launder. So now, yochosh ani merabeh or mishuvshat, maybe I would also include a skin once it's been flayed. Tamalomar beged, only a beged. Ma beged adavar mekabel tuma. Just like a beged is something that already has the ability to be mekabel tuma because it's ra'ui, it's ready for utilization right away. Avko davar mekabel tuma. So too, only items that are ready to be utilized immediately, they are mekabel tuma. And or a skin, once it's been flayed, is not ra'ui yet. You have to either have a machshava, a particular thought, to be miyacheded, to designate it to be used, or you have to work, you have to do some sort of halacha to make it proper for usage or utilization, and therefore it's only ra'ui the kabel tuma, it is not a davar mekabel tuma. So two things to point out. Obviously, the word beged over here, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda, what the meaning of the word beged is. According to Rashi, the word beged means semru pishtim, according to Rabbi Elazar, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, beged means everything, not just semru pishtim. And that is also subject to a machlokas. The Gemara Menachot discusses a massage of machlokas, and also in the beginning of Yavam, there are different opinions as to what the meaning of the word beged is in the Torah. Is beged limited to tzemer pishtim, or is beged include any type of garment? So that machloket would also be applicable over here, according to Rashi. In addition, the other machloket between them is, are we only talking about something that is ra'u lekabel tuma? That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. As long as it's able to be mekabel tuma, that is sufficient to make it that it can have a problem of kibbutz or have a problem of dam chatat coming upon it. Whereas Rabbi Elazar believes that it's only once it's mekabel tuma. Where does he know that from? So Rashi says he learns that Rabbi Elazar gamar beged ahochami beged amur bishvatzim. That he learns it out from the beged that's written here, the same beged that's written in Parshat Shmini. So over there, that the beged is mekabel tuma from the contact of a sheretz. That's only when the beged is already able to be mekabel tuma. So that beged that's mentioned by the shvatzim will also impact the beged that's mentioned here in Vayikra Perek Vav. And the beged here means that it's already able to be mekabel tuma, not just that it's ra'ui, that it can at some point be mekabel tuma. So the difference between them will be these two items. One is, what's the meaning of the word beged? Because that's our starting point before we merab it, before we add anything else. And number two is, do we compare this beged to the beged of shvatzim? Do we say beged like beged of shvatzim must be a beged that is mekabel tuma now? Or do we say no, beged here means ra'u the kabel tuma, and that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. There is in Tosafot some discussion about the girsa. Rashi's girsa in the statement of Rabbi Elazar is mishi hupshat. Maybe I would have included even a skin once it's been flayed. So that girsa implies, and it's true, Tosas agrees, that Gersa implies that everybody would agree, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar would agree, that if the skin is flayed and then been designated for whatever usage or prepared for every usage, that it is mekabel tuma. Even Rabbi Elazar agrees that or is able to be mekabel tuma. It's just now at this point, once it's flayed, it's not ready yet, because you still have that last stage of designation which hasn't taken place. And even Rabbi Yehuda would agree before it's flayed, that before it's taken off the animal, that it's not mekabel tuma. So it's only this in-between stage at the point that it's been flayed, but before there's been designation, do they argue? And that would come out from this girsa over here. But the problem with that is that the next line in the Gemara is, my binayu, what's the nafka mina between them? Well, this, according to this explanation, we do have a nafka mina right away. It's an or, misha huvshat, an or that's been flayed without designation is something that's already between them. So therefore, Tosfos talks about another girsa here, that an alternative girsa in Rabbi Elazar, which said over here, yochol shanim rabbe, or the same way that it says it by Rabbi Yehuda, the same statement, achalo huvshat. In that case, we would have them saying the exact same thing in the Braita, and that would be the question of Mabinayu, what's the nafkamina between them after the Braita, because now we don't have a nafkamina. The problem is that the Mishnah also has that statement. The Mishnah also includes Rabbi Elazar, even once it's been flayed, it's still not problematic. So we know the nafkamina out of the Mishnah. So why do we need the question Mabinayu? So that could also be a problem unless you, of course, change the girsa in the Mishnah as well. So Rashi, again, allowed for the girsa to be here that would differentiate between them. And then you have to explain, as Tosfos does on the following Amud, that Mabinayu here is not what's the difference between them. We know the difference between them. The difference between them is a beged that is ra'ui lekabel tumah, but is yet able to be mekabel tumah. And the Gemara's question Mabinayu is not what's the difference in their opinion, but rather, what type of beged is that? And we're searching for these types of begadim, or these types of situations in which that is true, and that'll be what it means here, Mabinayu. The Gemara says, Mabinayu. Amar Abaye makes the first suggestion, is matlit puchuta mishalosh. We'll be talking about a cloth, or a beged that is less than 3x3 etzba'ot, according to the girsa that we have here. The Rambam's girsa is shlosha al shlosha tfachim, meaning that's a garment that is less than 3x3 tfachim. Those garments are too small to be mekabel tumah. They're not useful whatsoever, and therefore, by default, they're not mekabel tumah. Well, so what's the difference? The one who says that such a garment, if it's at least ra'oi, it could be mekabel tuma, that's enough. Hanami ra'oi. This garment is also ra'oi to kabel tuma. Why? Dibai choshiv alei, because if the owner of such a garment considers that garment in order to use it as a patch or to utilize it in some way, then it would be mekabel tuma. Yeah, today it's not been designated yet, but it has that potential. That potential is enough to make it into something that is ra'oi to kabel tuma and have a problem of kibus if dam chatat gets splashed on it. On the other hand, Amandamar Davar Mekabel Tuma, Rabbi Elazar, who believes that you have to have it actually now be able to be Mekabel Tuma, Ha Mialo Bat Kibulei Tumahi. At this moment, it's not the Mekabel Tuma because it's yet to designate it for any usage. Rava offers an alternative beged that would be a nafkamina to them. His beged Shechishe Valea Litzura. It's a beged on which he considered, or he thought about embroidering it. He wanted to put on some decorative side to it. So therefore, mandama ra'oi, hanama ra'oi. There's someone who says that this is ra'oi, the kabel tuma, this is still ra'oi. Dibai, why is that? Because if he does it, it'll be mekabel tuma. But also, dibai mevatale the machshavate. Even if he does not complete that process, he still could make it into be mekabel tuma today. Why? If he nullifies the first thought. If he says, originally I want to embroider it, then he says, you know what, I'm not going to embroider, I'm going to use it right away. That machshav will take it away and immediately become roi to mekabel tuma. So that fact makes it a beged roi to kabel tuma, and therefore it will require kibus when it comes to dam chatat shenitazala. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar believes that it's only true when it's mekabel tuma today. As of this moment, he hasn't had the machshava of retraction. Since he hasn't retracted his machshava, this item as it stands today will not be mekabel tuma, and because of that, it will not require kibus because of the dam chatat shenitazala. Now, they hear the girsa probably should be ikadamre, an alternative garment, which would be an afkamina between them, is Rabbi Amar Utzva to Choshev Elo the Katz'a. He's talking about some sort of untrimmed hide that you're still planning on cutting or shaping to the way that you want it. Manda Amar Ra'ui, the one who says that it only has to be Ra'ui, Hanami Ra'uya. This is Ru'ya just like we had in the previous statement. Why is it Ru'ya? Because he could nullify again his thought of cutting the trimming it, and therefore he'd be ready to be mekabel tuma right away. So even without any action, just a simple machshava, he could bring it back into the position of being ru'ya. Madamar davar mekabel tuma, according to Rabbi Elazar, who says you need it to actually be able to mekabel tuma today, halav mekabel tuma. It's not mekabel tuma ad demekatzela until you actually trim it, or you have a machshava that takes away the thought process that you had in order to trim it. So those items will be a difference between them, because through a simple machshava, they could be mekabel tuma today, but they're lacking that machshava. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's sufficient to make them into a beged that will require kibus when dam hakatat is nitazala. According to Rabbi Elazar, that's not sufficient. You need it to actually be mekabel today. Today you have to be nothing missing. Rashi points out over here that even though in tuma in general we say that machshava is ena maleh, that machshava can't change the status of tumah. That's only once something's become tamei, you can't change it through machshava. You need an action, a maaseh, to do something with it. Or once you've designated to become tamei into a position where it could be mekabel tumah, you can't remove it through a machshava. On the other hand, here where you're trying to nullify something that would make it not be able to be mekabel tumah, that you can do through a machshava. So if the situation had been reversed, for instance, he thought about using this hide right away without trimming it, then through a machshava you can't retract that. You must do a maaseh, an action, to retract that. On the other hand, here, whereas machshava was to trim it and he prevented it to be mekabel tumah, then a simple machshava can retract the first machshava and make it be able to be mekabel tumah. Va'atanya, Tanya here is being yichuta. We have a braita that supports this understanding of Rava. Rabbi Shimon ben Asi omer, utzva shechishev leila katz'ah, an untrimmed hide which a person had the thought process that he was going to trim it, tehorai, remains tehorah ad shiktzeana, until you do trim it. And again, if he takes that machshav away, decides he doesn't want to trim it, that could also make it into something that's mekabel tumah. So you see, this simple lack of trimming is enough to take it away from being ra'oy lekabel tumah, and only becomes able to mekabel tumah, either by trimming, or by having a machshav that retracts the necessity for the trimming. Now the Gemara says, goes through the rest of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when you damis splashes on the beged, you only have to launder the place where the blood came. Thought when it splashes on a part of the beged, the entire beged needs kibbutz. Tamal omar, asher yizeh alah techabetz. The place that was splashed, the place where the sprinkling happened, that's where you need to do the kibbutz. Amar techalav makom dam bilvat. Only in the location where the dam had come onto the beged. So now it says, davar shuhud ra'ui lekabel tumah. The beged has to be something that is ra'ui lekabel tumah. We mentioned this when we read the Mishnah, that is stama ke Rabbi Yehuda. The remainder of the Mishnah is stam ke Rabbi Yehuda. That we said over there, that stama ke Rabbi Yehuda, that the stam Mishnah follows in the remainder like Rabbi Yehuda, because here it says, it just has to be ra'oi lekabel tumah, not actually be able to be kabel tumah. Ra'oi lekibus, that definition of the Mishnah, what does that come to exclude? Lim'ute kli de bar gredohu. Comes to exclude a kli which its cleansing process is not done through laundering, but rather through scraping. That you scrape off the dirt, but you do not launder it. Only things that are laundered are included under the requirement of laundering when dam chatar comes on it, but not things that are cleansed by scraping them off. Echad beged ve'echad sak. Lememra. From this you would conclude, the or bar kibusu. The conclusion from our Mishnah is that if the fact that skins are included under the category of items that can require kibus if the dam splashes on them, that means that you have the ability to launder a piece of leather. For your minu, we have a question from the Gemara in Shabbos. Because haita alav lishleshet mikant chabis martut. If you had some sort of pillow or sheet that had gotten dirt on it, Rashi says lishleshet is saliva, some dirty saliva or excrement. The Aruch says that it's chicken excrement, whatever it is, it's something unpleasant filth that is on this item. Then mikant chabis martut, you can take a dry cloth and wipe it off. Whereas haita shel or, if it was leather, the pillow was made out of leather, noten alam ayim, you can even put water there. You can put water on there until it gets removed. You can't wipe it anymore, you can't scrape it off, but you can put water and wash it off. But that shows you that there's no problem of laundering, because laundering requires water. So the other items, when you're talking about cloth, we don't allow you to put water on there, because there's a consideration of kibus, libun on Shabbos, and we won't let you do that to clean off the item. On the other hand, when it comes to or, it sounds like from this that there is no problem of kibus, and therefore you can use the water, because it won't be classified as laundering. So you see, you cannot be laundering or. Amar Abai lo kasha, that's not a problem. We have a machokas tanaim about this. The Tanya, we have a braita. This braita is speaking about the dam, kibus of dam on a beged vasak michabsan. When it comes to a beged, garments, cloth garments, or a sack, when it comes to sackcloth, michabsan, then you have to launder them. Hakli va'or, when it comes to something that is a utensil or leather, migardan, then you scrape them down. Acherim omrim, a beged vasak va'or michabso. When it comes to a garment, a cloth garment, sackcloth, and leather, mechabtan, then you launder them. Vakli, migardan. And just a utensil, a harder utensil, then you scrape it off. So now, when you're talking about the machlokas here, well, the Acherim believe that or leather can be laundered, can be washed. Whereas the Tanakam or the Chachamim believe that it cannot be laundered. So therefore, the question that we brought from Shabbos, the Mishnah in Shabbos, is based on the Chachamim. Based on the Chachamim, we say there is no laundering by leather. Our Mishnah that says that or that leather is able to be laundered, that will be going according to the Acherim. So Kaman Azal Hadamar of Chir Barashi, then who does this situation that Rav Chiya actually describes, Zimin Sagin, Havakamina Kamei de Rav, there were many times that I was before Rav, Vishachshiche, and he either dabbed or shook his shoe b'maya in water. So that sounds like he was washing his shoe in some water. Come on, who does that go like? The Rabbanon, who say there is no laundering when it comes to leather. And therefore his leather shoe, when he put it into the water, whether he dabbed it or he shook it in the water, that would not be classified as laundering, and therefore it was permissible on Shabbos. Amar Rovo, umi yukalamanda amor or lav bar kibusu? Can there be anybody who doesn't agree that leather is able to be laundered? Why? We have an explicit pasuk when it comes to nigaim. Baktiv, fa beged o ashti o erev o kokli or asher tichabes. When it's talking about the nigei begadim, it says over there that if it's any beged, shti, erev, or kli, or leather item, asher tichabes, that gets laundered. So you see, the Torah says that you can launder leather. Amar Rava, kro matnitin birakirin, the pasuk that's talking about tzarat. And the Mishnah, our Mishnah over here is talking about soft leather. Soft leather can be laundered. And therefore, by the dam that's nitazlav, in our Mishnah, you'll have to launder it, you'll have to wash it. And so too by the pasuk, by the nigaim. Ki plige, the machok zvin acherim and the chachamim is only bikashin. That's talking about hard leather. And the hard leather will be the case. And we talk about, in the case of lishleshet, where we permitted it on Shabbos, that'll be a case of hard leather according to the Rabbanan. Ramar v'chia zimin sagin avakamina kamei derav, v'shechshiche le misane. But don't we have the case of Rav, where he has his shoe that he washed off on Shabbos, b'maya, so he used to do it in water. So how you can explain that case? B'kashinu k'rabonon. Then you'll have to explain that that case of Rav is talking about where his shoes had hard leather, and it was going according to the sheet of the Rabbonon. The sheet of Rabbonon and hard leather is that there is no laundering, there is no way to wash leather, there's no violation of kibbutz or libun on Shabbos. Hadar my Rava love miltihi. Rava then retracted his ability to differentiate between hard and soft leather. He says, damar niku nema. Let's go out. How can we go out and say that the pasuk in the Torah is only talking about soft leather? The Torah just says klior. It says generically all leather items. Where do I come off saying that it should be soft leather? Milo askinan, can't the case there be bekli axlagio, or the alternative in the aruch is avlusmus, some sort of, Rashi says, hard cooked leather. It's a thick piece of hard leather. And so if somebody mentioned that it was a forester's garment, something that involved very thick and hard leather, habayim midinatayim, that come from overseas, become rachmanim dibay kibus, and the Torah says you got to launder that, because if it gets nigaim, you're going to have to launder it. Elama Rava, this is the distinction to draw. Tzarat, kevin de migufei kaparcha. Tzarat, since the tzarat comes out of the leather itself, out of the garment itself, mechal chalale, it softens it, umishavi larach, and it makes it soft. So that'll be the explanation over here. True, soft leather will be a problem of kibus. Now, why is it by the case of nigaim? Nigaim could be in soft leather or hard leather. The answer is that all nigaim come into leather, make it soft. Because of the expansion, because of the breakout of the tzarat, it causes all leather to be soft, and therefore it'll be classified in the din of softness, and it'll be washed. It can be washed, and that's why it says in the Torah, shet techabes. Our Mishnah, which says that you can wash it, that's why I meant soft leather. The din in Shabbos is talking about the Rabbanan with hard leather. So that's the Gemara says, Amarava, ikashali. But if I have a problem here, ha kashali. This is the problem over here. B'karim v'kistot, d'rakim ninhu. The case, when we're talking about karim and kistot in Shabbos, I just said now would have to be explained according to Rabbanan with hard leather. Karim and kistot, when we're talking about pillows and blankets, those are soft items. D'rakim ninhu. V'tanan, and we said over there, aitashul ornoten ala mayim, achetichle. That case of leshet, where they had the filth on those items, we said you can pour water if it was made out of leather. Well, why? That's soft leather. And according to me, soft leather can be laundered, and it should be a problem on Shabbos. Alamar Rabo, kol kibus delele kiskus lo shmei kibus. Kibus includes two items. Number one, you have to soak it in water. And number two is you have to rub the sides together like one does with hand laundry. When you take something, you want to rub a stain out of it. You want to get the dirt out of it. You rub the two ends of the garment together in order to clean it out. So you require not only pouring of water, but also a kiskus. And that's why in Shabbat, when we did the din in Shabbos, it's mutar. Why? Because by Shabbat, it says over there that he pours water in the leather, but he's not allowed to do anything more. By the other items, he takes a smart tooth and scrapes it off and pulls it off with just a dry cloth. By leather, we let him put the water on, but we don't let him to wipe the smart tooth. Why don't we let him wipe the smart tooth? Because of this problem of kiskus. So how do my Reb Chiya ba'ashi? So what that case of Rabbi Achir Ba'ashi, Zimnin Sagin Avikamina Kameh Rav, that case that I used to stay before Rav, Shech Shichei Leh Misan Ebe Mayon, he used to dab off his shoes with water or shake them off in the water, Shech Shuchin Al Kibuz Lo. He would only dab them or shake them, but he would not actually launder them. So Iberakin, if we're talking about soft leather over there, then it's Kadivri Akol. That's according to everyone who says that you can't launder soft leather. That's why you only did Shech Shuch and not Kibuz. On the other hand, if they're Kashim, if it's hard leather, then it's Ki Achirim. Not like the Rabbanim, but the Achirim who say that even by hard leather, it's a problem of laundering, and you can't put water on them. Tamar says, Yochi beganami. So then, why about the first part of that Mishnah in Shabbos? Why do we say that you can only use a smartut? You can wipe it up, put water on there, and don't rub them together, and you'll have the same thing that you have by the or. By the or, if you put water on, you don't rub them together, it's not called kibus. So say the same thing by beged. The answer to the Gemara is, beged shriato ze kibuso. Once you put water, soaking the beged in water, once water gets on the beged, that is its kibus. Without the scraping, the or, which is a harder substance and doesn't absorb the water, it needs both the water and the scraping together to be kibus. On the other hand, garments and cloth garments that absorb the water itself starts or has a partial part of the kibus process, and therefore it already has begun to be laundered, and that's the problem over there. Once you put the water on, you already started to launder the garment, and that'll be problematic. And Rava Latame, Rava is according to his own shita, Dama Rava Zarak Sudar Lamayim, someone who throws a scarf into the water, Chayav, because he's begun the laundering process of the scarf. Zarak Pishtan, the Miami flows flax or Zera Pishtan. He puts in flax seeds into the water. Chayav. So then he's Chayav. Bishlamo Sudar. When we're talking about the scarf, Avid Kibus, we understand why it's Chayav, because he's doing laundry. El Zera Pishtan, when we're talking about flax or flax seeds, my time, what's the problem here? Because they bore through, meaning that they seed and then they will put roots in the water. Nami. Why is that different than wheat and barley? Why is flax seed any different? So Hanach Ilahu Riri. No, the answer is that when it comes to flax seeds, they have mucus associated with them, that they discharge some sort of mucus, and that mucus brings all the flax seeds together and kind of makes them into a thick single unit. So that would make it, as Rashi says, that a problem of lisha, a problem of kneading on Shabbos. It says, Yochi shlachim nami. If that's the case too, when you go to tan skins, you also have this mucus that is expelled by the skins. So when it says, hotam kavid lisha, when you're talking about seeds, and you're talking about these smaller items, you can mix them together and knead them together into a single unit. That'll be a problem, lisha. But when it comes to shlachim, when it comes to skins, they don't get attached together. They don't become a single unit. They don't unify in any way. So that can't be called lisha. Lisha is only when they become from particles or different units, components, into a single unit. That will happen by the seeds. That will not happen by the skins. Tosos here brings an alternative girsa, that the girsa actually was shichlaim over here. Shichlaim are watercress. So the Gemara is asking about watercress, and the Gemara answers in the end that watercress does not join together in a single unit. Even though maybe it expels some sort of mucus from it, it doesn't join together in a single unit. There's no lisha by the watercress. Darish Rava. Rava got up. Mutar lechabes menal b'Shabbos. It's permissible for one to launder a shoe on Shabbos. Why? Because it's made out of leather, and there is no laundering by leather. So Amar Rav Papa the Rava, after Rava came and sat down, Rav Papa said to him, V'amar Rav Chir b'Ashi, Zimnin sagin abakamina kamid Rav. Many times I was in front of Rav, b'shichshichei le'misani b'maya. He used to either dab or shake his shoe in the water. Shichshochin aval kibus lo. That's what he's allowed to do. By a shoe, you're allowed to do a little bit, but you're not allowed to do significant type of laundering on Shabbos. So hadar uke Rav Amora. Rav put up his Amora again. Again, this is a person who acts like a microphone, megaphone for him. He tells them the drasha, and then they repeat it in Aramaic and loudly for the Am. So he had sat down, and the Amora had come back. He put the Amora back, and he went back, and he said to the Am, Damar le'e v'darash, devarim shamaitim v'chem ta'utim. What I just said was a mistake. V'aram kachamru shichshuch mutar, kibus asur. When it comes to shoes, you're allowed to do shichshuch, you're not allowed to do kibus. Now the Gemara continues. Ha kibus b'makom kadosh. That kibus has to be done in a place that's kadosh in the Azara. Nah, honey, Mila, how do we know that? The Tanur Banan. Because the pasuk says, Hashem zela techabes b'makom kadosh. Shvir kli cheres minayin. How do I know when you break the kli cheres that's absorbed from the chatat? We'll see later other kochim as well. How do I know that you have to break it in the makom kadosh? Because it says, Hashem zela techabes b'makom kadosh u kli cheres. So the u joins the kli cheres to the statement before, which is b'makom kadosh. Hashem t'bashal bo yishaver. How do I know they have to rinse out and wash out the kli nechoshet that absorbed from the chatat? And we'll see later again from other kochim. Tamal omar ve'im b'kli nechoshet. Again, there's a vav chibur that connects it back to the techabes v'makom kadosh. So therefore, im b'kli nechoshet bushala umorak v'shutaf pamayim connects it back to the statement of a makom kadosh. So all three of these requirements are done, but makom kadosh have to be done inside of the azara. That's the laundering of the beged, that is the breaking of the kli cheres, and that is the cleaning out of the kli nechoshet. Now the Gemara continues with the last piece of the Mishnah, zemer chumra b'chatat. This is a chumra b'chatat. Gemara says, this is the only chumrah by a chatat of kibus. That's the thing that's differentiated. The two leka. You have chataot apnimiyot. No other carbon goes inside or has blood brought into the kodesh or the kodesh kodashim, into the eichal. Well, why isn't that a chumrah? So Gemara says, chataot achitzonayot. We're talking about here are the outer chataot. Those outer chataot that don't go into the eichal. Gemara says, wait a minute. The chataot achitzonayot also have a chumrah. Shim nichnas damal lifnim psula. That if their dam is taken inside the eichal, then their carbon becomes pasul. Just because their dam has been taken into the Eichal. Rashi says, we'll learn like Rabbi Akiva, that any dam that was taken in there to be mechaper is pasul, so it's not unique to the chatat, includes other types of carbonot. So Gemara says, well, there's also chumra, shekei mechaperim al chayvei kritot. They also are mechaper on chayvei kritot, so that's a chumra by chatot. Rashi says, v'chatat shmiat kol, we're talking about a carbonot lever yoreid, the chatat shmiat kol is not on a chiyuv karet, on a chiyuv lav, and even despite the fact we still have a chatat. So not all chatot are mechaper on chayvei kritot. Where it says, shekein dura arba matanot. The chatat is unique that it requires four separate netinot of dam on the mizbeach. Where it says, k'rabbi Shmuel, back in Ezu Mekuman, damar kol damim tunim dala matanot. Even those carbonot that require shtaim shein arba, the shtaim that are done, you have to do separate two matanot. On each corner, you don't do a single matana that spreads across the corners. You have to do a separate matana on each side at those corners. So you have to do dala matanot, a darker note. Vili tamech. So he goes, oh, now you think you've solved the problem. Haika Karen. Even though they're format note of the chatad and format note of every other karban, they're done differently. The chatad requires it above the chuta sikra. Everything else is done below the chuta sikra. The chatad requires keren, that they be placed on the keren. Vayika etzvan is done by a finger. All the other karbanot to do mizrika from a mizrak, whereas the chatad is done through sprinkling with the finger. Haika choda. Choda means the edge of the corner. We discussed this in other places here that these may not be separate items. Keren and choda might be the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi in the Gemara there, whether you require Karen or even the Choda, anything all the way down to the Sovev will be sufficient. So it's either Karen or Choda, maybe not both of them over here. Ella, Chad Mitrei Tlat Tachumrei Nakat. The Mishnah gave an example. It's not an exclusive list. It's not a definitive list. It just says, this happens to be one of the Chumrot that a Chatat has of other Karbanot about Kibus. But that's not the definitive list or other Chumrot that it has that we're not going to mention in this Mishnah. Okay, we'll stop over here.